Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. Since the 1945 publication of Science, The Endless Frontier by Vannevar Bush, the federal government has played the predominant role in supporting research and development and in establishing public policies that affect science and technology in the United States. That role remains vitally important today. Indeed, almost every major policy issue is influenced in some way by scientific and technological information and expertise. This makes it especially clear that we need a cohesive set of federal policy and programs that both sustain research and development and promote the application of new knowledge. But the federal government is no longer the sole source of R&D funding or science and technology policymaking. As the influence of scientific and engineering research on daily life has steadily increased, states have assumed an increasing responsibility for developing, formalizing, and institutionalizing policies and programs that support R&D and enable science and technology evidence and expertise to be incorporated into policymaking. As the federal government faces continuing budget shortfalls and, one hopes, a temporary reluctance to enact policies based on scientific evidence, the roles of individual states are likely to expand. Today, there are a great range and diversity of approaches for incorporating scientific and technological advice and evidence into policy and decision-making at the state level. Many states fund research directly, much of it tied to driving economic opportunity within the state. Some governors have science advisors, while others do not. Many states rely on consultation with experts from academia, government, and industry. Some have formal arrangements with their universities to conduct research for parts of the state government, such as the regulatory agencies that work to protect public health and safety, or to manage the state's infrastructure and natural resources. At the national level, the federal government can rely on various organizations, such as the national laboratories, or private, nonpartisan, nonprofit institutions like the national academies, for advice. But as states make an increasing number of science and technology-based policy decisions, significantly more needs to be done to develop rational, collaborative strategies for using science and technology information and expertise at the state level. Most specifically, it's important to develop stronger, ongoing relationships among government officials, individual scientists and engineers, and state and federal scientific organizations, such as the state academies of science. It is clear that high-quality scientific information and evidence can improve policy decisions on everything from environmental protection to education to energy to healthcare. But in the current policymaking environment, science and technology compete with the panoply of other ideas and voices surrounding a given policy development. Oftentimes, a lack of scientific information is not the problem. Rather, the problem is where to turn for trusted information. State officials must be able to trust the advice and information they receive and must be able to distinguish among and reconcile competing claims. And even if information does exist, it may not be uniformly useful or meaningful to the people who need it most. In general, scientists and engineers have done a poor job of communicating scientific information clearly and effectively to policymakers and the public. Scientific information is useful for policymaking only if it is presented in a timely fashion and in the context of the many political and economic factors that policymakers must also consider. Clear science communication is especially important, given that only a small fraction of the citizen lawmakers who are elected to state legislatures and the people who advise governors or regulatory agencies have a background in science or technology. There is a growing need for state officials and the scientific and engineering communities to find ways to communicate with one another, to share ideas and effective practices, and to work together, both within their states and across regions, to realize the benefits and efficiencies of collaboration. Cooperation and joint decision-making across state lines has proven even more difficult than working within individual states. The fact is that the current ad hoc system of state-level science and technology policy advice cannot meet existing needs. These and other related issues were recently explored during a first-of-its-kind national convocation on the roles of science and technology in state-level policymaking held at the National Academy's Beckman Center in Irvine, California. Organized by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, and the Institute of Medicine, in collaboration with the National Association of Academies of Science and the California Council on Science and Technology, the convocation enabled participants to explore the contributions and relationships of science and technology to state policymaking from a variety of perspectives. In the past, cities and states became powerful in large part because of their locations, their access to natural resources, and the skills of their workforces. If a city was located next to a navigable river, it could build on its strengths as a transportation hub. If an area had plentiful coal or oil resources, it could become a center of energy production. But today, the importance of location and natural resources has definitely diminished. The vital factors that now generate comparative advantage are often created rather than inherited. So, for example, Silicon Valley was essentially a fruit-growing region until a handful of companies initiated the microelectronics revolution there. And Starbucks became successful when it developed a way of giving its customers an experience that would justify paying much more for coffee than if they just made it at home themselves. Value is created through talented people, an entrepreneurial culture, networks, world-class universities, and other institutional, cultural, and technological attributes. Given that talented people and a skilled workforce are the products of education, it follows that good schools, colleges, and universities are critically important to the economic and social prospects of cities, states, and nations alike. Financial capital flows to wherever good ideas are located, and information is largely free and globally distributed in the age of Google. These trends will only intensify in the 21st century. If the United States is to compete with other countries, it must do so on the basis of high-value products and services. Routine work will be increasingly done by machines or by low-paid workers. For the U.S. to remain a high-wage country, it must be a center of innovation, in part through the education, training, and preparation of its workforce. Historically, the United States has had the strongest system of higher education in the world. The nation also has a very strong system of laboratories supported by the federal government. Universities and federal laboratories both have had great success transferring ideas and technologies to the private sector. But colleges, universities, and federal laboratories have had much less success providing scientific and technical advice to policymakers. Providing good science and technology policy advice in a form that's understandable and actionable by elected officials remains a challenge. This weakness is particularly evident at the state level. According to Richard Atkinson, President Emeritus of the University of California system, a glaring failure of the U.S. science and technology system has been the absence of science and technology input at the state and regional level. There is no end of examples of policies that have been established at the state level that have failed dramatically because they've not taken into account science and technology issues. Yet science and technology are having an ever greater influence on state policies. In fact, many leading policy issues have some sort of science component, whether it's energy policy, stem cell research, education, or more, which in essence means that science and technology should be important to all state legislators. These state policies, in turn, can have a dramatic influence on everyone's lives. As the federal government becomes more constrained because of other commitments and political disputes, states and localities have unprecedented opportunity to use science and technology in productive ways. States are often called laboratories for democracy. The same is also true for science and technology policy advice, where scientists have a genuine opportunity to learn from the experiments that are going on at the state level. There is a line from the comic strip Pogo that goes something like this: "We are surrounded by walls of insurmountable opportunity." This California convocation on state science and technology policy helped make those walls just a little more surmountable. You may read the report on state science and technology policy advice online, free at nap.edu. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.